You're listening to Evolution Digital, where we talk about how various industries have adopted technology to stay relevant and competitive in today's digital market. I'm Tracy Shekel. Welcome back, everybody. Today, my guest is Steve Gove, who is the executive director of the Maine Municipal Association, who has seen some interesting changes in their use of technology over time, but particularly since COVID. So, Steve, how are you?
I'm well, Tracy. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Can you give us a little bit of background about what MMA does and what your role has been over the years up to becoming executive director?
Certainly, be happy to. But first, let me first thank Otelco for being a great sponsor of MMA's conferences. MMA recognizes your support. Our members recognize and appreciate your support. So thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome.
So the Maine Municipal Association is a unique organization. We've been in existence since 1936. We provide a variety of services and programs to municipalities. Maine's 487 municipalities can participate in the association, can be members. It's a voluntary organization. We are a nonpartisan, which is very important, organization, nonprofit, that really is focused on being the service and action arm of our members. And we're fortunate to have 484 of the 487 municipalities currently as members of the organization.
Wow.
So very strong membership, and has been the case over the years, or certainly since my tenure with the organization. So MMA, as I said, provides a variety of services and programs. They range from our training programs for municipal officials. We'll put on approximately 90 training programs a year for our members in conjunction with some of our affiliate groups like the Maine Town and City Managers Association, the Maine Tax Collectors and Treasurers, the Maine Clerks Association, to provide that essential training that they need to do their jobs in municipal government. And we also focus on elected officials, doing elected officials workshops for newly elected officials and Freedom of Access Act training and things of that nature, covering the ground that local elected officials need to have in order to do their jobs. So training, we do premier training events during the year, annual convention, a technology conference, our HR, human resource conference as well. We do a variety of publications, a monthly magazine for our members with articles and content focused on municipal issues and legislative updates, and what's happening around the state and local government.
Well, as I mentioned earlier before we started recording, I worked for the Town of Gray in community development and communication for a while, and you guys were invaluable to us. A question would come up and it was, you know, bordering on a legal question. And rather than spend time or money with our municipal lawyers, I would call up there and get a preliminary opinion of whether, yes, you really need to talk to your lawyer about this, or no, this is how you can proceed. And so it's a huge money saver for municipalities to have that kind of training and access available.
Yeah, we definitely think there's value there for our members, and our legal services, legal inquiry services are a part of that, where we have six municipal attorneys on staff who are available to municipal officials to answer their questions, help them interpret the statutes, and provide just general guidance and training to our members on municipal legal issues and the statutes.
Awesome. So now your history with the company spans quite some time with the organization.
It does, yes. Thank you.
That was a compliment, because now you can truly speak. When we get to the part of how has technology changed, you are in the same genre as I am, and you can actually speak to that because you remember. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you started in 1980, what was your role there, and how did you get where you are?
When I started at the association, I started as a legislative advocate. I was the assistant director of state and federal relations at the time. So I spent a great deal of my day at the legislature, monitoring bills, testifying on bills, just generally lobbying for municipal interests at the statehouse. I did that for a number of years. I moved into the administration of our group self-insurance programs and other service that the association provides, both for our property and casualty workers' compensation fund and health trust services programs. And then I've had a multitude of different jobs here at the association over 40 years, which has been a wonderful opportunity. And 2015, I became executive director when our prior executive director retired, and been leading the organization since.
Well, congratulations. That's quite a milestone.
Yeah, it's unusual in these days to have someone who works at an organization for 40 years.
And you don't even sound like you're bordering on insanity, so that's great.
I'm getting close.
So obviously, one of the questions that we generally ask on this podcast is, how did you do business 40 years ago? How has technology changed the way you do business today? A lot of people that I talk to, I mean, I can certainly answer how I did business 40 years ago, so I'm giving away my age, but a lot of people can't even answer that question. They kind of guess, but you can, so that's great. What was different when you first started about how people connected, and how is it different today?
Well, I can think of maybe three turning points in terms of technology that the organization has undergone, three game changers, if you will, over the course of the past 40 years. I'm recalling the first was maybe in the mid to late 80s when we purchased two standalone word processing machines, if you will. They looked like video arcade games, with a rudimentary screen and a keyboard. Obviously, they weren't connected. They weren't networked. And all they did was spit out copy. But it changed because we weren't using the, carbon paper and IBM Selectrics anymore, and were able to respond much quicker to producing materials for our members and our magazine and our weekly legislative bulletin and so on. So those machines, I have no idea where they went, but they were classic, and they were a game changer. And then probably in the early to mid 90s, when we put PCs on everyone's desk and then got connected to the internet, major change as all organizations have gone through with technology at that point, and our ability to connect to our members in many different ways and do things much faster and be more responsive, particularly during a legislative session when we're advocating on behalf of our members. Time is of the essence in some days, and it was a game changer.
One thing that really interests me is because of how your organization operates and because you are a support mechanism for municipalities, not only did your technology evolve, but your knowledge base evolved. Like, I remember back in my day in municipal government, those legal conversations I was having were about what is legal to do or not do online with your Facebook and your website, etc. And that wasn't something you discussed in 1980. So your knowledge base had to evolve with that as well.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. We began to also receive inquiries for our members as a result of technology on how to respond to Freedom of Information requests, for example, and other technology-related issues that were overlaid onto daily, municipal operations.
Yeah, it's just when I think you putting it into those time frames, I don't often think about it that way, but really a lot has happened in 40 years.
Yeah, and another game changer certainly was mobile devices and tablets.
Right.
And our ability for our staff members who are typically out in the field doing work for our members, such as our loss control consultants under our workers' comp and property and casualty risk pool program, out there doing property assessments and safety checks and things of that nature, their ability to have access to data information at their fingertips. And having been a lobbyist way back when we didn't have cell phones or mobile devices, I could tell you that there was a fair amount of downtime at the State House, and the ability now to be able to do work on a tablet or a laptop or even a phone at the State House is a game changer as well.
Sure. It certainly increases productivity.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that had come up in my dealings with MMA over the last couple of months is part of the reason I really wanted to have this conversation with you. As you mentioned, we sponsor a lot of your events. And in chatting with your staff about a webinar series that we were, you know, planning to sponsor, et cetera, it was mentioned that attendance virtually has in some cases tripled and quadrupled at the multiple different training events that you offer than it was when it was in person. And I know that that's COVID related because we've been obviously resolved to communicating this way, but can you talk about that a little bit?
Certainly. When COVID hit, we had to pivot very quickly to figure out how we were going to continue to offer our training programs to our members. And we employed Zoom, as many other organizations have, in delivering that training. And we did it very quickly. And we've learned a lot since then, no question. But one of the silver linings, if you will, of this pandemic has been our ability to provide those training programs in a virtual world and to do it quickly and to offer, honestly, a greater variety of training programs to our members. We found that, as you mentioned, the number of people registering for those webinars has increased dramatically. And we attribute that to the fact that we're trying to reach elected municipal officials, many of whom have day jobs. And when we do in-person training for that group of our members, we typically do it late in the afternoon into the evening. Well, the last thing a municipal official needs is another night meeting. So their ability to take this training, because they are also recorded at their leisure and participate when it's convenient for them, has made a big difference. And we've seen that increase in people logging in and taking our training programs.
Now, when, I know it'll happen eventually, when social distancing becomes a thing of the past, do you anticipate that you will continue to do some maybe hybrid of in-person and virtual?
Absolutely. Because of the very positive response we've received from our members, both elected and appointed, and our ability to record, to offer the trainings so that it's convenient for our members, we will continue to do hybrid approaches because of the benefits that we found from offering webinars and the convenience that it offers our members. We will absolutely continue to do that. In fact, we did that at our recent convention in October, where part of it was in person, but then we did 3 or 4 days of subsequent webinars on a variety of municipal topics. So there's value, obviously, to doing in-person training, particularly when it's for elected officials and our legal staff members are there in person. Getting questions from those elected officials and the networking and interaction that takes place, that's really critical. But I anticipate, because of the success of our pivoting to digital training, that that will continue.
Well, you just successfully answered my general crystal ball moment question. So I won't trouble you with what does the future look like, because you just did a great job of explaining that. One of the events that we are really excited to sponsor is your MMA Tech Conference, which usually takes place in the spring. And so I'm hearing that the date and some of the logistics are laid out. So can you first explain to everybody what the intent of the tech conference is, and then as much as you can share about what's up with this year would be great.
Sure, Tracy. We've been doing a tech conference for at least 15 years, I think. And part of the reason for doing that is having a standalone conference focused on technology is that we just didn't have the time to cover the topics that have popped up under technology in our regular annual convention. So we decided to do a standalone conference. And it's been successful over the years in drawing a number of municipal officials. We have, as you said, typically done it in the spring. We're scheduled to do it April 15th and 16th of this coming year. It will be a virtual conference, unless something dramatic happens between now and then with the pandemic. And we'll cover a host of technology topics, such as broadband and effective use of Zoom for training and meetings and those kinds of things. We've also expanded the conference to cover energy issues over the past couple of years because of the great interest in sustainability in municipal government. So we've added or will add conference sessions on solar, electronic vehicles, things of that nature to broaden out the scope of the conference.
Fabulous. I've noticed that there's been more and more on energy and solar in the last couple of years. And it's really interesting. Again, it's that whole evolution. The fact that you started a tech conference 15 years ago, right around the same time that, you know, internet hit your office, and watching things evolve, energy's the next thing. And thanks to COVID, certainly broadband has come back up to the top.
Right. And certainly one of the things this organization does is to try to keep abreast of the issues, challenges that are facing municipal governments in Maine. And whether it's through our training programs, through our legal services, advocacy, group insurance programs, personnel services, communications, whatever, we try to keep abreast of what's happening out there. And so the tech conference, other training programs are tailored to address those issues. And many of them, certainly in the tech and energy area, are evolving issues for local governments.
Yeah, and they'll be evolving forever.
Yes.
So I believe it's referred to as your affiliate member program?
Yes.
We didn't have this in our notes pre-conversation, but can you talk a little bit about that? Because it sounds like your market penetration of municipalities is pretty well in the bag in Maine. But I think because of the great work you do, affiliate members' support kind of helps you do that. So why don't you tell people about what that's all about and how they can become affiliate members?
Sure. Well, we have two categories. Our affiliate members are our professional municipal employee groups like the Maine Town and City Managers, the tax collectors and treasurers and clerks and so on that I mentioned earlier. But I think you may be referring to our associate members that are non-municipal governments, but they are quasi-municipal entities, nonprofits like water and sewer districts and libraries and transportation providers and social service agencies and providers. Again, they are eligible to participate or become a member of the Maine Municipal Association under a separate category. And many of them do that to access the training programs that we make available, but to also participate in the group self-funded insurance programs, be it health, property and casualty, or workers' compensation. And we have about 275 associate members around the state, and they don't receive the same level of services as our municipal governments. They don't have access to legal, and we don't typically advocate on their specific issues because they are so broad and varied.
Right.
But they do receive access to training and publications and the group insurance programs.
That's fabulous. I guess we should think about wrapping up now. I can't thank you enough for, you know, sharing the whole picture. I've been involved with MMA for so long that I kind of take for what you do for granted because it's just part of my everyday. Very excited to be a sponsor of the upcoming tech conference, and I can't wait for more details to unfold. Anything you would like to share in closing?
Simply to thank you for this opportunity, but also again to thank Otelco for being such a great partner with the association and sponsoring our programs. As I said, we sincerely appreciate it. Our members appreciate it. And just thank you.
And I don't have it off the top of my head and forgot to write it down. Can you share the MMA website for anybody that would like to visit and learn more?
Absolutely. There's a lot on that website that's available to the general public, and it's www.memun.org.
Awesome. Well, listen, thank you again. I'm sure we'll be in touch as things for the tech conference in April unfold, and stay well.
Thank you, Tracy. That sounds great.
Thanks for listening to Evolution Digital. I'm Tracy Shekel, and I hope you'll join us again next time. If there's a conversation that you'd like to have here on the podcast, or you know of someone who would make an interesting guest, please visit otelco.com/evolution-digital and complete the submission form with your idea. Until next time, stay well.